This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Regardless of whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away, Aware Super can help you get a plan in place to live your best retirement. Visit aware.com.au to find out more. Good morning. I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Siobhan Moran-McFarlane.
It's Wednesday the 3rd of April. In your Squiz today, remembering an Aussie aid worker, Trump takes a financial hit, revealing the price of a referendum, and justice for seagulls. This is your Squiz today. Siobhan, an Australian aid worker has been killed in central Gaza, along with 6 other international and Palestinian colleagues, after their vehicles were allegedly targeted by an Israeli airstrike on Monday. The Australian victim was named yesterday. Her name is Zomi Francom. She's from Melbourne.
Yeah, so she was working for the food charity World Central Kitchen, which distributes aid supplies to civilians. The 43-year-old had worked in international humanitarian assistance for many years, including in Australia during the 2019 Black Summer bushfires. Reports say the group were en route to Rafah in southern Gaza when their cars, which had the charity's branding, were hit by a missile. The World Central Kitchen confirmed the deaths in a statement online, saying humanitarian aid workers and civilians should never be a target.
The Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade also issued a statement yesterday. It says it's urgently investigating her death. PM Anthony Albanese says that the government is demanding full accountability over the incident that was beyond any reasonable circumstances. That's his words.
Yeah, and overnight he also requested a phone call with Netanyahu about the incident. For Netanyahu's part, he says the strike was unintentional, but acknowledged his forces had killed innocent people. He said, and this is his words, "This happens in wartime. We are thoroughly looking into it and will do everything to ensure it does not happen again." Israeli authorities also said they've been working closely with the World Central Kitchen in making extensive efforts to ensure the safe delivery of humanitarian aid. But the organization's founder, Jose Andres, says the Israeli government needs to stop indiscriminate killing, restricting humanitarian aid, and using food as a weapon.
And back in Melbourne yesterday, Francom's friends also paid tribute to her. They say she risked her life many times to help those in dire need, and her family said that she leaves behind a legacy of compassion. We've spoken about this one plenty over the past couple of weeks. And now former US President Donald Trump has avoided several of his real estate assets being seized by the state of New York. He's done that by making a $269 million bond payment.
Yeah, so that payment was due after Trump, two of his sons, and several Trump Organization executives were found guilty of fraud by misrepresenting the value of the company's property portfolio. They were originally told to pay a $700 million bond, but after they failed to secure that money, the court gave them the green light last week to pay a reduced amount. Now, for Trump's part, he denies any wrongdoing, and yesterday his lawyer said he looks forward to vindicating his rights on appeal and overturning this unjust verdict.
And it was a costly day for Trump for another reason. His net worth took a $1.5 billion hit after the share price of his company, Truth Social, which he's the majority shareholder in, dropped after it shared its annual report. That showed that it lost more than $90 million last year, and an auditor cast substantial doubt over its future. We foreshadowed this one yesterday, Siobhan, and last night, Federal Court Justice Michael Lee approved Network 10's application to reopen former political staffer Bruce Lerman's defamation case against the network and its former high-profile presenter Lisa Wilkinson. That's after Network 10 filed an emergency application to present new evidence.
Yeah, they did that over the weekend, and all up, they filed 3 sworn affidavits before yesterday's hearing, all from former Seven Network producer Taylor Auerbach. Now, he worked on Lerman's tell-all interview on Seven's Spotlight program last year, and he claims Lerman leaked confidential text messages from Brittany Higgins, which were obtained via subpoena during Lerman's criminal trial. Ten's lawyer, Matt Collins, says if proven, that would be, in his words, an outrageous contempt of court.
For his part, Lerman denies the leak, and yesterday he objected to reopening the case. But Justice Lee ruled in Ten's favour. Auerbach will now be called to give evidence on Thursday afternoon, and Lee says his judgment could now be handed down next week. A quick message now from our podcast partner, BHP. Across the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking to Squizzers about BHP and the work they're doing to provide the materials that we need to transition to a low-emission economy for the energy transition. At the start of the podcast, you heard how copper is used to make electric vehicles, wind turbines, and solar panels. So when it comes to producing it, reducing emissions is a priority. And that's why BHP is making solar, wind, and battery deals to help power their South Australian Olympic Dam copper mine. It's happening now at BHP. Siobhan, the Indigenous Voice to Parliament referendum feels like a long time ago now, but yesterday it was in the headlines again because the Australian Electoral Commission released a new report breaking down how the campaign was funded.
That's because campaigns have to reveal their expenditures on the yes and no as part of the Electoral Commission's transparency rules, which say the names of donors making contributions over $15,200 must be declared. To get into the numbers, the Yes side spent more than $60 million, which is a lot more than the No campaigners' $25 million. Of that Yes funding, corporate donors made up a big chunk, Alice.
Yeah, many of our biggest companies made contributions between $2 and $2.5 million. And what the Coalition's Indigenous Affairs spokesperson, Jacinta Numpenjimpa-Price, who was a prominent No campaigner, said yesterday was that the report sent a clear message to the companies that they should focus on providing for their customers, not telling them what to think. I was telling you yesterday, Siobhan, that I grew up on the coast and had some interesting experiences with seagulls. And for those who have also dealt with seagulls swooping in on your fish and chips, FYI, scientists reckon we shouldn't feel annoyed by them.
No, in fact, they say we should be impressed by seagulls' intelligence and charisma, Alice. They're encouraging that sense of wonder because our avian friends are getting more wily in their hunt for food. And that's because they're being pushed into living alongside humans as the amount of natural space dwindles and more of them are dying through diseases like bird flu and they're facing decreasing fish stocks. And I'm talking about live fish there, Alice, not your battered lunch.
And something else that they said which surprised me about seagulls is that they aren't actually a species. There are apparently over 50 types of gulls that we mistakenly refer to as one. But all of that aside, Siobhan, I respect them, but I don't know that I'll ever admire them as they swoop me.
Come on, Alice, give them some hot chips. I always do.
Squeeze the day, Siobhan. Something to point out is that News Club has had a bit of an internal takeover this week.
Yeah, so in the latest ep, Kate talks to our Squiz Kids colleague, Bryce Corbett, about his passion about media literacy and our program News Hounds, which is teaching kids how to spot fake news. And one thing that really stood out for me in this episode was when Bryce said that kids being able to identify misinformation should be treated just like any other life skill, like learning how to cross the street or learning how to swim. And I have to say, I'd never thought about it in that way before, Alice, but he's absolutely right. And I think that's a really helpful way for parents to introduce the topic to their kids.
Yeah, if you're keen to listen to that episode, look out for News Club in your podcast app and hit follow. And if your family hasn't started listening to Squiz Kids, just search for that in your podcast app as well. It's a really great way to get kids thinking about the news in a family-friendly format. And that's it from us today. We'll be back with you again tomorrow.
G'day, I'm Kate Watson, co-host of News Club. News Club this week was an interview with Lauren Sams. She's the fashion editor at the Australian Financial Review. She's all over the business of fashion and retail, so I pulled her in to talk to us about fast fashion and ultra fast fashion. In particular, businesses like Temu and Shein, who in Australia alone are on track to record more than $2 billion in sales. Here's a clip from that conversation.
What is happening is that it's recalibrating fashion as a single-use item. Mm. So when you think about something that's $6 or $7, you know, I bought coffee this morning and that was $5.50. And that's a single-use item to me. You know, I have my coffee.
Like actually is, like you cannot use that twice.
No. And so when you're talking about a dress yeah. that's sort of an equivalent price, people equate it with something that doesn't need to be valued. You don't need to wear it again.
To listen to the full interview, just search for News Club in your podcast app and hit follow.